I'm so delighted and honored to have Dr. Bobby Robertson with us this morning, and we met him by way of a video on Monday evening. And Brother Bobby, you walked us down memory lane through that video and reminded us of our heritage. And tonight's theme is maybe a little more forward-looking. We'll talk tonight about being engaged by the Spirit to do the work in this present hour, and we'll learn about some great things God is doing. But I believe it's so important for us to look back and see what God has done and to remember our heritage. I've always been an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, non-charismatic, hellfire, damnation Baptist. I never was something else. I've always been an independent Baptist. But most of the men who've trained and influenced me were something else. You know, they were involved in groups that began to trend away from the truth. And the reason that I like to be around those men is because they took a stand. They deliberately, intentionally stood for the doctrine of the Word of God. And frankly, they paid a price. Some of them lost retirement programs and sometimes friends. And Dr. Ouellette has often said that over the course of a man's lifetime, he'll either change his position or his friendships. And we don't like to lose a friend, but it's better to stand for the truth. And I think it's good. I've enjoyed Brother Jim Rushing's in heaven now, but he taught here at our college for a few years. And I said, Brother Rushing, tell our preacher boys why you became an independent Baptist. And let them understand the process involved with that. And that's why the video was a blessing to me the other night, just to get a little glimpse of the lives of some who paid a price and figured out that it wasn't necessarily their affiliation on this earth as much as the filling of the Holy Spirit from heaven in their life. And certainly if there's a man in our nation who has walked with God and has experienced and displayed the theme of this conference, the theme being by His Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, it's Dr. Bobby Robertson. He not only has a great link back to many of the great fundamentalists of yesteryear, but again has that anointing from on high that each and every one of us so desperately need. And Brother Bobby has been here many times, and he's never spoken one time in all the times I've heard him where I haven't been greatly, greatly blessed. And they have a gracious church. They've often hosted year after year the Sword of the Lord Conference. The only thing we don't, Brother Bobby, we have basically the same music and preaching, even though we're out here in California, same old stuff, but the only thing we don't have is Mater sandwiches. We haven't got that sanctified yet. But other than that, we're working on it, and I know that you're going to be blessed. Would you join me in welcoming to this platform Dr. Bobby Robertson from Walkertown, North Carolina?
God bless you. God bless you. Well, it's a joy to be here. I was just sitting here thinking my first time, and I don't remember my first time, but those earlier days, Brother Chapel was a little small building. It just started to work. And then to look around and see what God has done. It's amazing. And then to see all these people here. By the way, turn to John chapter 21. I'm going to preach a little after a while. I'm going to talk to you a little bit. Most of you fellows never knew. Anybody here ever know J. Townley Davis? I don't guess you ever knew. J. Townley was a great preacher. He used to preach revival. You knew J. Townley. Many, 50 years ago probably. He was with me in a meeting. And Paul Raker, you don't know him, from Winston-Salem. He's been with the Lord for years. And Paul was saved under Dr. Rice's ministry. And Paul started a church and was there for years, and then he passed away. And anyway, one night in our little building, we're in our third auditorium, our little block building, it was packed. And Townley was preaching. And the building had a little wing on each side. You know, we were running about 500 before we got out of that building. I don't know how we'd done it, but it wouldn't seat that many. But anyway, and Brother Paul Raker came in late, and Talley started preaching. And Talley always walked. Of course, you city folks won't know what I'm talking about. He walked like this, plowing a mule. He walked backwards and forwards, you know. And he said, "Come on in, Brother Raker. God bless you. It's no seats back there, but there's one over here." He said, "It used to preach to a bunch of preachers and scare me to death. But now I preach to them like a bunch of ex-convicts. Sit down over there. I want to talk to you." I thought about that this morning. Well, a joy. Bunch of ex-convicts tonight. Amen. Amen. That's right. Just sinners saved by grace. Sinners saved by grace. And it's what a joy. What a joy to be here. You know, I like the emphasis put on the working of the Holy Spirit in this meeting. And I got in last night and heard about 15 minutes of Brother Davis's message. And that was good. Amen. The Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, that's what we need more than anything. Amen. There's an old gentleman, he's in heaven now, used to teach our men's Bible class. And he moved from West Virginia to North Carolina. And I was standing around, this has been many, many years, I was standing around listening, and some fellows was talking to him. His name was Grace. And they said, he's a good Bible teacher. And they said, "Brother Grace," said, "do you use an outline when you teach?" And he didn't ever know it, I knew it. And he said, "Well, I always have one handy, but if God comes, I don't need it." And I've thought how we need God, don't we? How we need His presence, His power. And it's not by might, it's not by our part, but by Thy Spirit, says the Lord. You know, I've been blessed so much. I'm pastoring about 2.5 miles from where I was born. And my home church is just 3 miles away. Back in 1949, I heard there was a young man coming about 3 miles up the road and putting up a gospel tent. Wasn't many churches in that area at that time. And I never did attend the meeting. But he organized a church, I think it's 9 members. And he got him a little 3/4 acre of land, and they built a little block building. And then he began to have Dr. Seidler over there in meetings and Mays Jackson. And I'd slip over to hear them and got acquainted with him. He was there for 7 years. He had a good ministry. And then he felt the Lord wanted him to go into evangelism, and he moved to Knoxville, Tennessee. And I was working as a life insurance. Back in those days, we collected it from door to door. And I'd been with the insurance company 3 or 4 years. I was pastoring a little church about 12 miles from there. And I was enjoying it. Had been there just about a year. And had no intentions of anything else. And one night I come in from work and was eating a meal about 8 o'clock. My wife said, "Some men have been here from this Gospel Light Baptist Church," and he said, "it'd be back. I want to talk to you." It's in the summertime. And about the time she told me that, I heard a horn blow. And I got up and went to the door. They didn't come to the door. This old gentleman said, "Come out here, man. I want to talk to you." And there was four old gentlemen sitting in a little 52 Chevrolet, I can remember. They said, "Do you remember us?" "Well," I said, "I've seen you." And said, "We're from Gospel Light Baptist Church. You visited there. We heard you preach. You know, Brother Long has left us or leaving us. And we've been praying. We've been going around listening to preachers. And Brother Bobby, we're seeking the leadership of the Holy Spirit." Now, this is what I'm getting at. You don't hear much of that today, folks. Those old men say we're seeking leadership of the Holy Spirit over the preacher. We believe God is leading for you to be our pastor. And I said, "Brother, I appreciate that. It's mighty nice of you." But I said, "I don't believe God wants me to leave where I'm at." I said, "Only been there about a year." And I said, "I just don't believe He wants me to leave." And they said, "We don't expect you to give us an answer tonight. We just want you to pray and get the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And we'll talk to you later." And just pulled off. It would take me 30 minutes to tell you how I found what the Lord wanted. But I threw other things. I was weeks and weeks. I had no intention. And then I knew God was leading. But in fact, I came to the first Sunday in July of 1956. And, you know, fellas, what I'm trying to say, I never thought about this, Paul, until 2 or 3 years ago. Those fellas never asked me if I could read and write. I never did. The Holy Spirit knew I could. But they were seeking the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And we need to try the spirits by the Word of God. And please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. Resumes, we didn't know about them until the last few years. That's all right. I'm not against them. I'm not against a resume. But I'm saying we need to get back to find out. An old preacher used to preach for me, he's in heaven now. He said, you find out which way God's going, go with him, you'll be all right. And that's true. That's true. A lot of times, I remember a man pastoring about 30 miles from me. He's just had his 25th anniversary, built a new building. God's blessing his church. And about 10, 12 years ago, he called me and he said, Brother Bobby, he said, do you know of a church looking for a pastor? He said, I've been battling two deacons in this place for years, and I don't believe God wants me to keep on. And said, I believe the Lord wants me to leave. Well, I'm not very smart, but as he talked, I said, his name was Paul, by the way. And I said, Brother Paul, I said, do you reckon those deacons are leading you away or the Holy Spirit's leading you away? And I said, why don't we do some real praying? In about 6 months, six, 8 months later, he called me and he said, Brother Bobby, he said, thank God I stayed. He said, I got rid of them two fellas. And he said, God's blessing this place. And every time I see that preacher, and I'm not smart, but he'll say, thank you for giving me that advice. And I'm just saying, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. It's easy for me to tell God what I believe and then for me to answer it for him. And it is for you. So I say to you young preachers, don't get too hasty. Wait on the Lord. He knows where you ought to pastor, if you ought to pastor. And whatever, evangelism, whatever. But let's get back to this thing of depending on the Holy Spirit, the bottom line. He's in us to lead us and guide us into all truth. And the older I get, the more I realize 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. You see, I can't figure this out. No, I know we're not supposed to. God can figure it out for us. And now let's just walk by faith. Well, that's enough for that. You're familiar with the scripture I'm going to talk about this morning. You know, Peter backslid, denied he knew Christ, and now the resurrection. And Peter's gone fishing now. God called him from fishing. Nothing wrong with fishing, but he wasn't supposed to be fishing at this particular time for fish. And you know, if you'll notice the scripture, he said, I'm going fishing. And six more said, I'm going with you. You know, when we get out of the will of God, it's easy to get others out. Have you ever noticed if one of your members, if they get disgruntled and they'll get somebody else with them, then what do you think about so-and-so? Well, I never thought about it till you said something about it. And you're right, here they go. And then they're all a mess and they're not happy. You see, anyway, Peter's over there fishing, didn't catch anything. Thank God Jesus always comes. Just in time. Boy, I think about how he's put up with me through the years. Man, the messes I've made. And he's always standing there saying, come on back, son. I got a table for you. And then if you remember the story, how he said, coming down, he said, cast your net on the right side. Dr. Rice has preached to me one Sunday. He said, Jesus said, now fish, don't you get on that side. Don't you get on that side. Don't you get on that side. He's out of the will of God. Don't you get on that side. And he said, they stayed over there too. And then he got on the right side. He got 153 fish, brought them to shore. Jesus had some ready for them and said, come and dine, fed them. Then he said, Peter, I want to talk to you a little bit. He said, do you love me more than these? Yeah, Lord, I do. Three times, if you remember. I got something I want you to do. I got some sheep and lamb need to be fed. And that last time, I think Peter's getting real concerned. He said, Lord, thou knowest. I made a mess, but Lord, you know, down in my heart, I love you. And he got things all right there. And a little while after that, God filled him with the Holy Spirit. And wow, God used him. But I'm going to start reading right here in verse 18. Look, verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young. All right, and that's in John 21. And by the way, that is in the New Testament. You keep turning. I remember Dr. Hiles used to say to keep flopping. He said, if you hadn't found it yet, I'd just make out like I hadn't stopped right where yet. Now, notice verse 18. Verse 18, look. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And then he tells us what he's talking about in verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. That sounds very simple, doesn't it? He said, now, Peter, he said, this, when you was a young man, you went where you wanted to, but now another's going to gird thee, and I'm talking about you're going to die for my glory. But I just want you to follow me. All right. Then look at verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved fallen. Now we know that was John, all right, which also leaned on his breast at supper. And he said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what's this man do? Now, they were Baptists, wasn't they? Now, the Lord's done told him what I want you to do. I've been running this bus route a long time, and old John over there, he played, I mean, not John, but Don Sis, he plays golf every Saturday. And how come he can't run this bus route? I had to put that in the end, Don. But what I'm trying to say, too much of the time, we'll say, well, I've been doing this thing, and I'm wore out. Now, how about him doing something? And some of you members of this church, you say, well, man, I've been keeping the nursery for years, them squalling young'uns, and the pastor will get up and brag on this fellow, but he never said, I think it's high time. You know, that's just the West life, isn't it? That's life. And he said, and then notice, this is what I'm trying to say right here. But listen to what Jesus said to him. Now he's asking, if you want me to follow you, what do you want him to do? All right, Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now right here's why I said it was a bunch of Baptists. Now watch. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said, not unto him he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You know, if you just say a word and then it keeps multiplying and it never comes out right. You ever notice that? Now, here Jesus said, Peter, if I want him to live till I come back, that's none of your business. And then word goes about and it said, hey, Jesus said that he was going to live till he come back. And he didn't say that, you see. But this is, I'm going to stop right there. You know, I read this story, I preached on this, maybe out here, I don't know. But I titled my message on how to continue our walk with the Lord. Now, folks, there's a lot of good Christian people have started out through the years. And we know, and you pastors know what I mean, and they're on the sideline now. We had a man come to our church 8 or 10 years ago, moved from up north. He went to be the Lord about a year ago. He had cancer. But he walked up to me, let me say 3 or 4 years ago. He said something I don't think I've ever been asked before. He said, Pastor, could I ask you to really pray for a request of mine? I said, yes, sir, what is? He said, pray I'll end up right. I thought that's good, isn't it? He said, I know there's a whole lot of them in the Bible ended up right, but there's a whole lot of them didn't end up right. And he said, I see people, and I know people who don't end up. Now, he's not talking about falling from grace, but what he was saying, pray that I will not change and stand for the truth all the way and won't end up a backslid and end up away from the things of God. And I think that ought to be every one of our desires. And I believe, listen, I believe there's people that stood up and they meant it. I think when Peter said, "Lord, if they all forsake you, I'll stand," he meant that thing. But he was too dependent on himself too much, you see. And we'd better watch about that. It's only by the grace of God that we're going to get anything done. But I believe there's some simple things that we ought to practice every day if we end up right down the journey. And I put out here the first one: we've got to learn to die to self every day. Now, if you ever heard Dr. Lee Robertson, you heard him preach about that. Dying to self. Listen, our church, we got over 6,000 members. We don't have that many people. I don't know where some of them is. I hope the Lord knows. But but what I'm trying to say is this. I hate to admit it, folks, but I have the most trouble with the one you're looking at right here. Now, let's face it. You say, "Brother Bobby, I've got all, I know it." But now let me tell you, if you and I will learn to die to self, it's the attitude that we take when all of that crowd's acting up. And my joy can be gone if we're not careful. Week before last, I got to thinking about, you know, myself. You go through problems. If you're not if you're a pastor, you're either going through a battle, or you just got through one, or you're about to start one. Now, that's encouraging, isn't it? It is. It is. But it's the attitude as a pastor, how I'm going to be when I go through that. And Brother Paul, I got to think, it's week before last, and I said, "Lord, I don't have the right attitude. I don't have the right attitude." I'm talking about in my members, some of them. I mean, you got headaches. This is always in that one. And you think, "Well, I know, yeah." And I just got on my knees and I said, "Lord, it's not right. It's not right. I mean, I don't have to compromise. I'm not talking about, I don't have to compromise, but I ought to have the right spirit about this thing." And I started confessing, and when we know to do good and don't do it, it's sin. And I started confessing. That's the week before last. And Sunday, I had the joy of the Lord down in my soul like I hadn't had in a while. We've got to learn to die to all of that stuff. Die to it. You know, Jesus said, "If any man's going to come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross." And what is a cross? It's to die on. Take up his cross, not once in a while, but daily. And if he does, he can be my disciple. And that's something I and you need to practice every day. I was thinking on my message this morning, and I remember when Dr. Howell started the Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas. And some of you may have remembered it growed, and I think got up several hundred people. And they got to taking on their, it was a convention church, I guess, at that time. And anyway, they got to taking on missionaries. And they got more missionaries than the association got. So they had a meeting and they voted him out of the association. Now that's been many years ago. Dr. Howell said, "I didn't think you could make it unless you was in the Baptist Association." And he said, "I heard they voted me out like yesterday." And he said, "I was sitting there in my office the next morning, and Lester Roloff called." You know, Brother Roloff is raised both in Texas. Brother Roloff is a few years older than him. Now, nobody could talk like Lester Roloff. Dr. Howell said, I picked up the phone, said, "Jack, this is Lester. Heard about what happened yesterday." Dr. Howell said, "I was discouraged." He said, "I heard they voted you out." He said, "Yes, sir, they did." And he said, "Well, let me tell you, there's never been a resurrection until first there's a death." There's got to be if we're going to have life, there's got to be a death thing. There's got to be a death. And so we need to learn to die. You know, Paul learned this, didn't he? You remember what he said in Romans 12:1-2? "I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, that you do what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice." You remember when he wrote to the Galatian church, I believe it's in Galatians 2:20, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm alive, yet it's not me, but it's Christ now And this life that I now live in the flesh, I live with the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave me for. I believe as I study Paul's work and ministry, I mean, you know, he spent time in jail and, man, he was beaten. Corinthians tells us all what he went through. But I have never sensed 1 ounce of bitterness in that man. And I don't know, I studied one day and I thought about the reason is because he died to self. And you remember what he said? I believe it's in 2 Corinthians 5:14. He said, the love of Christ constraineth us. For thus we judge if one died for all. Then well, you know what he said? He said, I can't get over how much he loved me. And when you and I may go through battles, you look at Calvary afresh. You look how they spit upon the Lord Jesus and mocked him and put crown of thorns and laughed and scoffed and all those things. And he did it for Bobby Robinson. He did it for me. If I had have been the only sinner in the world, not that I'm worth anything, but that's how much he loved me. If I'd been the only sinner in the world, he would have done the very same thing. And I'm just saying this morning that we need to look at that. We need to die to self, my friend. Die to self. I put down here Dr. Malone. He was such a hero of mine. Dr. Malone said, listen, he said one day, he was a young preacher, and he attended a meeting. Dr. A.W. Tozer was preaching. A.W. Tozer, he said, was an old gentleman at that time. And he said, I went in a restaurant, and he was eating over there. He said, I walked over to him. And I said, Dr. Tozer, I'm a young preacher. Can you tell me how I can have the power of God in my life? And said, he said, young man, you've asked a hard thing. I can't remember all the points, but he said one thing, keep your sins confessed. He said, I mean, don't let them pile up on each other. This morning, if you had a sin, an evil thought, he said, get it under the blood of Jesus. Keep your sins confessed. And then he said, you die to self. You stay dead. And said, and Dr. Malone said, he asked him, said, can you kind of explain that to me? And he said, I think I can. He said, a while back, I stand in the yard of a church. And it's a cemetery out there. And a young man asked me the same thing you've asked me. And he said, I asked him, said, do you know who's buried out there? Big tombstone. He said, yes, sir. He said, that was the meanest man in this town. And he began to tell him how mean he was. He said, I want you to do something for him. I want you to go out there and stand at his head of his tombstone and tell him how mean he is. Well, the boy looked at him, and Dr. Toe said, go ahead. And said he walked out there and said he stood there, and he said, I remember how mean you was, and you'd done this in this town, and you'd done that, and you meant, and this went on and on and on. And then he come back. He said, did you tell him? He said, yeah. He said, what did you say? He said, he didn't say nothing. He said, Dr. Tozer stood there and he said, can you think of one or two or three good things about that man? And he said, I can. A couple of good things. He said, I want you to make one trip back and tell him about them good things. And he said he did. He stood there. He said, I know you was awful mean, but he said, I remember you done this in town and you done that, and those was good things. And I just wanted to tell you about them. And said he'd come back. He said, you tell him about them good things? And he said, yes. He said, what did he say? He said, he hadn't said nothing yet. And wait a minute. Dr. Tozer, Tom Malone told this. Dr. Tozer said, that's what I'm talking about, son, dying to self. He said, when they talk about you, you're dead. Criticism. But wait a minute. When they brag on you, you're still dead. Somebody says, boy, that's a great sermon. And by that time, the devil said, you're getting to be a big preacher. You know. And then your church begins to grow. And it's growing better than old so-and-so's. And if you're not careful, I'm talking about Bobby Ross, we'll get built up. And some good things. But we need to die. Because if there's any good thing about you or me, it's not me and you, it's God. And we need to keep that in mind. I've wondered this a lot of times, out east, not all the time, but I just wondered it. You know, you can't help but wonder things sometimes. So many churches and just bloom up and blossom up. and man to grow. And then the first thing you know, I wonder if we don't get built up. And no flesh shall glory in the presence of the Lord. No flesh shall glory. God says, I'm going to have the glory. And what men use, yeah, we've done some good things. And somebody say, and you say, look what I better keep an eye out of it. Better die to self. Let me tell you, when you come to gospel light, if there's any good things there, you make sure that you recognize who done him good things. This preacher just don't have it. And the older I get, you don't know how dumb I am, my friend. You might think my wife said the other day, Brother Paul, she said, Daddy, she called me Daddy. She said, Daddy, she said, you know why you get so many calls? And I said, no. She said, she didn't say I was a good preacher. She said, cause you're so old. Yeah, they just want to say an old man. I'm not that old. I just started young. But listen, listen, let me say, if you pastor a church that's growed, it may be the largest church, I don't know, in your county or state, don't you toot your horn. You give God the glory, my friend. God don't have no big eyes or little ears. I've never, by the grace of God, I've never went to a church and asked a man, he asked me to come, how many people you got? Man, a guy wanted me to preach a missions conference a while back. And I said, I don't know just how. Oh, yes, we want you. About 45 miles from my church. And I went, and he had 19 Sunday school. And I preached two nights to him, his family, and another one on a missions conference. I feel like they needed him. See, you don't never know. But listen, don't never leave the thought that you or I are some big thing. If God has blessed you, you recognize where it come from. And it ought to make us more humble to walk before him, my friend. That's what I'm trying to say. And I'm just trying to say, like that fellow said, die to self, my friend. If it's good, then get God the glory. Old boy said he didn't say nothing when I said something good about it. No, he's dead. He couldn't. We need to learn to die to self. Need to learn to die to all these things. I could just say so much about that this morning, but how we need to die. Many times tragedies come. We need to die to them. Don't try to figure out, I wonder how come this tragedy. I got to tell you this right quick. I got to hurry here, but I got to tell you this right quick. One of my old members has been dead, I guess, for 40 years. He told me this true story. He said years ago, he said there was in Kansas, they had big, some of you may be from Kansas, 100-acre wheat fields. He said there was a year when the grasshoppers just eat up this man's corn, wheat field, had 100 acres, and just really, had millions of grasshoppers just riddling and ruined the crop. He said a fellow walked up to him and said, I heard you were saved. He said, yeah, I am. He said, what kind of God do you have that will let the grasshoppers eat that wheat? And he said, let me tell you something, fella. He said, that wheat don't belong to me. It belongs to God. And if he wants to give it to the grasshoppers, that's his business. Now, if me and you could operate that way, we wouldn't be around uptight all the time, would we? You see what I'm trying to say? Troubles come, criticism come, disappointments come, and all those things, and tragedies, and all those things. Just die to them. Die to criticism and all this stuff. Listen, if I'll die to self, my life will honor the Lord Jesus Christ. You take Peter and John in Acts chapter 4. Here they're going down the street in Jerusalem, and the Bible said they took knowledge that had been with Jesus. Dr. Joe Henry Hankins preached for me one time. What a spirit-filled man. Dr. Hankins said, I want Christ to be seen in my life. He said, my wife and I was in a meeting in Alabama back before the interstate days. And he said, after service, the pastor and I went down to a little restaurant, got a bite to eat, said, two ladies come in and said, they just walked by and sit over here. And one of them just kept looking at us. And I'd noticed that, though. What? A few minutes she got up and she said, Mister, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you're a Christian, aren't you? Old Dr. Joe Henry said, I guess she was in a meeting and said, this is the pastor, and told her I was preaching. And she said, no, my sister and I are from up north. We're on our way to Florida. We had another sister. See, and we stopped in this place just to get a bite to eat. And mister, I can't tell you. But when I'm a saved person, but when I read my Bible, just something about you, the way you acted back there, made me think that you just kind of something about you like Jesus. And if you ever heard Dr. Joe Henry Hankins, the old man said, I bowed my head and wept and said, thank God. Thank God. I thought about Paul and Silas. Those fellows were dead to sin. Here they are in prison. Acts 16, an earthquake came in. Joe, why didn't that jailer call on somebody else? It was other people in there. Why? Because those two fellas, if they hadn't been dead to sin, they could sit over in that cell and say, well, I don't understand this. How come God let this happen? Backs are bleeding or whatever, and all this stuff. And we're just trying to do his will. I don't understand this thing. And they can sit over and puffed and like a lot of Baptists and carried on and got bitter. But brother, when you can shout when everything's going wrong and you and I can't, but God can through us. That's what I'm trying to say. And don't you know it done something when that old jailer could, them fellas down there singing and carrying on about their God in a mess like this. And brother, when that happened, where do you, he went right straight to him and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I was back years ago in a restaurant in Winston-Salem. About four couples of us went in to eat. And the restaurant owner was not a member of our church. Good church, 8, 10, 12 miles off. He's a good friend of mine. And he spoke to us, good to see you, and so on and so forth. And then we all, got, the lady come and got our order of service. Our order of food. And some way she didn't get my wife's order. And she came back and there everybody but her. And this lady said, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, it taught me a lesson. I got to thinking. It was one time I was nice. And I said, ma'am, don't get upset. That's all right. I said, nothing to get upset about. And I said, honey, what was it you ordered? She said, I said, now you just don't worry about it. Look, I can talk. I said, you just forget that. In a few minutes, Brother Paul Myers, my friend who owned the place, Paul, he come out of the kitchen and he walked. And he said, Brother Bobby, I appreciate you witnessing to my waitress. I said, Brother Paul, I haven't given her a track. I haven't witnessed to her. He said, oh, yes, you did. I said, no. He said, yeah, you did. He said, preacher, as a lot of preachers know me and eat in my place, and said, she come back and said, that woman's not saved. I've been trying to lead her to the Lord for 2 years. And he said, she come back in the kitchen. And she said, didn't you say that fella in there wasn't your preacher friend? And he said, yes. And she said, he don't act like some of them preachers coming in and eat with you. Said, I've messed up on other orders and boy, they talked awful to me. And he was so kind. I didn't get his wife's, and he just told me not. He's so kind. And he come out, he said, that old pat me on the back. It taught me a lesson. I'd better watch from now on. And he come back and said, thank you for witnessing to her. You know, when you and I are preachers and everything don't click right, you go get your car or served or something like that. No, we better watch how we act. I mean, we need to witness with our lips, but we got to witness with our life, too. That's what I'm trying to say. Let me give you these other points. I'm going to quit. It's 9:30. Listen, I got 5 points. Listen to me. I just got one of them. I mean, what's going to help me to live? Listen, I just thought I'd tell you. One of them is dying to self. The second one is learning to resist Satan. Now, we know he's our adversary. And you know the Bible tells us in James 4:7 to submit ourselves unto God, listen, and then resist the devil. Now I'm no match for him, but the Lord can take care of him. I like what the little boy said. He got saved and he had a terrible temptation afterwards. And he said, Jesus, the devil's at my door and I'm scared of him. Will you answer? I like that. I like that. I don't care how long you've been saved. It's the Lord. And we got to learn that Satan is our adversary. The Bible said he's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And then it says he comes with an angel of light. My mother used to say, "You better be good. The booger man's going to get you." No, that's not it. Hey, if the devil come down through here this morning with a pitchfork and horns, we'd run from him. But he comes with an angel of light. And we need to learn to resist him. Resist him. That's what I'm trying to talk about, is resist him. You know, this pastor right here, me, others, you can have so many things on your mind. And we can, and maybe you're walking up here. I'm just an illustration. And maybe Dr. Chappell's got, I know he's got a lot of more, but something he's got on back yonder, and he may speak to you, "Hey, John, how are you doing?" And then the other fellow sitting right beside of him, but he didn't even realize it. And he goes, and the devil said, "Look at there. You see what I mean? Yeah, he likes him all right, but he don't like it. I didn't think he liked you." Yeah. And you listen to the devil a while. Folks, we got to recognize that he's our enemy. That's what I'm trying to say. He's our. How many times have I done, and not intentionally, and go back and apologize? I said, you know, you can look right at a fellow, but with so many things on your mind, you really won't even see him, if you know what I mean. But the devil would tell you, yeah, he's seen you. That's what I thought he would, you know, and there you go. We got to learn that he's our adversary and resist. Let me tell you this quickly. It's not Dr. Malone's message, but he was such a blessing. Doc said one day, Paul, I may have told you that, he said he was coming from a meeting. He'd been driving all night. You know, he was pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan for years. Anyway, he said he'd been preaching, and he said, "I was right along at 2 o'clock in the morning, wore out." And he said, "The thought come to my mind, you're wearing yourself out and nobody cares." And he said, "And after 2 o'clock, I look, and that house is dark, and that one's dark. It's going to take me about daylight to get in the next morning." Boy, he said, "I got an awful shame." And he said, "Hey, who's making me do this? Who's putting all this in my mind?" It's what Dr. Mill actually done is. He said about 2:30 in the morning, he said, "I pulled my little old Pontiac over to the side of the road, and I got out. And I went around and opened the passenger door, and I said, 'Devil, in the name of Jesus, you get out of my car.'" He said, "You've been riding with me long enough." Old Doc said, "I closed that door and I got back under and I began to sing 'Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved.'" And then he said, "Boy, I began to think about how good God was to give me strength," he said, "to go all night." And he said, "Man, it got sweet in there." The devil is my enemy, my friend, and he's yours. And we got to learn to recognize that. And then I want to say, third, we must daily stay in contact with Jesus. Now, if you want a happy marriage, stay in contact with your companion. Amen. That's right. I mean, it don't take things to make a woman happy. It just takes a husband or a wife to know you care. I got a sweetest wife. My wife's a little country lady. And she got married when she was a teenager. And so did I. I called her last night. She sits up waiting on me. I called her 11:45. And I called her this morning, coming on over here. Yeah. And I said, "Honey, how'd you rest?" "I just can't rest when you're gone like this, Daddy. I got up 2 o'clock and slept in the chair up here. And you know, all that stuff." And, "Yeah, I know, honey." I said, "I think I got 4 or 5 hours. I was awake at 3:30, and that's 6:30 home, you know. All that, but I'm doing good. Now, you sure? Now, what time you pray?" She's praying for me. I wouldn't say this if she was here, embarrassed. But she said, "Daddy, remember, I love you. I love you, Daddy." And you know what she'll tell me every time I leave home? She said, "Now, you behave yourself." She'll do that. She always has. And listen, we've been married 61 and a half years. She's the world's greatest granny, I'll tell you that. We got 10 grandchildren and 21 great-grandchildren. And just 4 kids. But she will. And we have a sweet time together. Sweet time together. And because she lets me know that she loves me. And I let her know I love her.
And that's all it takes. It don't take a whole. The older you get, as far as materialism, I don't mean anything much. Just, and she says, Daddy, you never know what it means that you'd spend a little time with me. Amen. I'd come in sometime, 12, 1 o'clock. I said, let's get in the car and just ride out of town where nobody will know us for 30, 40 miles over yonder and sit down, have a little fellowship, eat an old hot dog together, and just drink a milkshake and have a time. And then later she'll come and thank me for it. You see, what I'm trying to say is this, my friend. I'm just trying to say that we as husband and wife need to stay in contact with each other. Now, wait a minute. If I'm going to have the joy of the Lord, if I'm going to continue, I got to stay in contact with Him. Now, how? I'm going to talk to Him every day. Yeah, through the Word of God. Get the Bible down and look at it, read, and say, Lord, what do you want to tell me? And He tells me something different every day. I read this book, and you have too, many times through, and I read every, and I said, well, I've never seen that before. Isn't that amazing? The Word of God. Now then I talk to Him through prayer. What I'm saying is we got to have a daily contact with the Lord. With the Lord. And folks, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Preachers, young preachers, wherever you go, don't get so tied up with things until you don't take time to get alone with the Lord and have that time. And it'd be good sometime just to tell Him how much you love Him. Don't go to Him and ask Him for something all the time. I got to tell you this, and I will quit in a minute. Listen. Years ago, the old Southwide Fellowship meeting was at Highland Park. God knows, Father, everything rise and fall in leadership, and you preachers stand true now. Don't you fool around with the liberals and moderates. You stand true. You know, I want to be sweet, but I'm against everything, just tell you the truth. That's right. I am. But anything changes leadership, it'll fall. Brother Sis knows what I mean. He's been, and that thing went down. But I was there at their first Southwide Fellowship meeting. And I attended 40 of them. Got to preach a few of them, but I attended 40 of them and only missed two in 42 years at that time. But what I'm trying to say is this. Dr. Hiles, and some of you could have been here, Brother Don, I don't know. Dr. Hiles was preaching one night at the Southwide there at Highland Park when Dr. Lee Robertson was there. And Dr. Charles Weigel, you know, he was a man who wrote the song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. You know, he didn't have any living relatives, and Dr. Robertson brought him to Highland Park, and they gave him a little apartment to live in. Okay, now Dr. Hiles told this from the pulpit. He said, I was here some years ago, and I missed Dr. Weigel in the service. And he said, I asked Dr. Robertson, he said he's sick, really, he's not able to get out of his room. He said, I wished I could see him. He told him where he was at, somewhere over there. And he said, I went over after service. I want to just see him a few minutes. And Dr. Hiles said, I heard him talking to somebody. And he said, I believe I stood out there 10 minutes in the hall. And I thought, well, he's just going to keep talking. And I won't interrupt anyway. And he said, I knocked on his door. Dr. Weigel come to the door. He said, Brother Hiles, come in. And he said, I don't want to interrupt you and your company. I've been standing out here for quite a while. I want to speak. He said, I don't have any company. Come on in. And he said, I stepped in. I said, Brother Weigel, you've been talking for 10 minutes, I know. So he dropped his head. He said, well, you know, he's 92, I believe, at that time. He died a few years later. He said, well, you know, Jesus and I just have a little fellowship. Yeah. Said, you know, Brother Hiles, I'm going up there to live with him for long. We're just having a good time together. And Dr. Hiles said Paul said he had his shoes off, just with his socks on. He said, well, where's his shoes? He said, well, don't think I'm crazy. He got so rich, so I've been up on the bed, jumping up and down, having me a time. 92 years old. Folks, let me tell you, don't lose that sweetness in your soul. I've got an old gentleman, he's 89 now. He comes in on a walker. As long as I can keep him alive, gospel light won't dry up. If he could run, he would. But he'll sit over there and all of us, he'll say, "Hallelujah! Praise the Lord." Some of them visitors, well, they'll think we're in a Pentecostal place. He was in the hospital a few weeks ago. Old Claude's a blessing. Claude Hoffner. I said, "Lord, help me to be a blessing to Claude." And I went, you know, and he had the rails upside his bed. And I watched, I said, "Claude, how you doing?" "Praise God, Pastor, I'm doing good." I said, "He's real sick about all the time." I said, "You are?" "Yeah, just laying here thinking." He said, "You know, my dear wife," he loved his wife so much. She died about 10 years ago. And he said, "You know, I miss my wife so much." And said, "She's up there waiting on me." And said, "There's 12 of us young'uns." And he said, "My oldest brother didn't get saved till 3 years before he died. We prayed and prayed for him. And now all 11 of them's up there." He said, "And I'm the last one here. My wife's there. I'm going to see Jesus." And he liked to come over them rails. I said, "Calm down. They'll run me out of this hospital." He said, "I got it made, preacher. Jesus is real to me." I was reading the other day a sermon, and this man was undergoing a serious surgery. And this nurse, somebody's sermon I was reading. Anyway, this nurse said, "Oh, I know she's getting everything ready for surgery." She said, "I know this is bad for you." And he said, "No, ma'am, it's good." And she said, "Good." Said, "Yeah." Said, "I'm saved." And said, "I love the Lord." And he said, "All things work together for good to them that love him." So it's good, ma'am. So that nurse took off. She didn't understand. All right, stay in contact with Jesus. And then let me say this. Look for him every day. And I'm going to quit on that. Look for Jesus every day. "Unto them that look for him shall he appear." And let me tell you, if I believe Jesus could come and he could today, I'm going to keep my house in order. If some of you ladies, if Dr. Chappell said to 4 or 5 of you women, "Brother Bobby and I are going to come by y'all's house this afternoon, a few minutes," some of you ladies would tell your husband, "Hurry up and get home, and don't you open that door there. I haven't made the bed up, and all this. Don't let them preachers see this." Because he's looking for company. Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, if we're looking for him, we'll keep our house in order. And then my last point was Ezekiel chapter 3, win everybody you can to Jesus. You remember what he said? He said, "I've set you up as a watchman." And he said, "Now when you see the enemy coming, I want you to warn them. And for the enemy's there, warn them, warn them, warn them. Don't lose that thing of souls." Now he said, if you tell them and they won't listen, he said, then they'll die in their iniquity, but I won't recall it. But if you don't tell them, they're still dying there, and but their blood I'll require at your hand. Take those 5 simple things with you. Die to self. Resist Satan. Stay in contact with Jesus all the time. Look for him and win everybody can to Jesus. Let's have prayer. Father, I pray that you'll use this simple thought to stir my heart. Help me to practice what I've preached. Bless these young preachers, Lord, and older, all of us. And bless Dr. Chappell. Lord, keep your hand upon him. I pray, as Brother Roloff used to say so much, I want to see God do something so great that man would have to say God done it and man couldn't do it. And I know we'd have to do that when we see this work here. And may your name continue to be exalted. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.